Welcome to the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Thank you for listening online. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you. The 503 Report at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
San Francisco. With no regard to the Second Amendment, the last and perhaps most iconic gun store in San Francisco will be closing its doors due to new firearm restrictions placed upon it by the city. The new regulations, which could only be aimed at High Bridge Arms, would have required the shop to take and preserve video of all transactions and turn over customers' personal data to the police on a weekly basis. The general manager of the store and the store owners finally threw in the towel after years of what can only be described as unfairly being targeted with restricting rules and regulations. Currently, the shop already has 17 cameras and routinely turns over video to the police upon request. Normal practice. The last straw for the owners were the proposed regulations of customers being videotaped taking delivery of items after already completing waiting periods. Lad Everett, spokesman for the coalition, you gotta love these coalitions, to stop gun violence, said, "Why is High Bridge Arms so scared of implementing the new regulations? What do they have to hide?" Well, Mr. Everett, the last time I looked, the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution gave us the right to keep and to bear arms. Nothing in the Constitution calls for the videotaping of law-abiding citizens exercising their constitutionally guaranteed right to purchase a firearm legally. The United States of America is a free and law-abiding country, a beacon for freedom throughout the world, only lessened by the continual attack of our personal freedoms by people such as those in charge in San Francisco. I want to thank my parents for moving me away from people whose sole purpose seems to be finding ways to remove our basic freedoms one at a time. It is Friday. It's our favorite day of the week. It's the 503 Report bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Heard right here on 1240 KSUE. And joining me, my good friend, Andrew Wellborn. Buddy, how you doing today, pal?
Baffled, quite frankly. just baffled about the thought of the city actually imposing such restrictions. And the authority that they think that they have, you know, to try to establish this authority is kind of ridiculous. I mean, obviously, there is a privacy issue, not just a Second Amendment issue, but we do have the constitutional guaranteed right of privacy. And really, what business is it for the police authorities to know who or why or when you, as a citizen of the United States, not just a resident of the city of San Francisco, but a citizen of the United States, owns or purchases a firearm. And obviously, you know, our position is going to be is that is going just way too far. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you on our podcast on iTunes, where America's voice is heard, Tim.
Absolutely, Andrew, and you're absolutely correct. You know, they already have 17 cameras in place, like I read in that story. And a lot of businesses have cameras and security cameras in place, but not for the purpose of videotaping legal transactions after already completing the mandatory waiting period for that. That's not the problem with what's going on in the world with all the guns and the killings and everything. People who go into shops like that and purchase a firearm like I have, like you have, like a lot of law-abiding citizens have, we have no problem. Well, we may have a problem with our waiting periods and things like that, but we go out and we do it legally. But I don't want them videotaping, and then the police can come in, and on every Friday or whatever the day it is, you have to turn that over to them so they can compile lists. Is that what they're doing down there? Is that the kind of state that we're in now?
Well, obviously, this is a page out of 1984's Big Brother, George Orwell's book, and you bet, man. I mean, this is the epitome of what that novel was about. And, you know, my big question I have, and all of our gun owners out there, and all of our very, very conservative gun owners out there listening to this program is, where is the NRA?
Thank you.
Where is the NRA on this case, on this discriminative case against this particular industry and other trade organizations? I mean, what's next? If you're going to put cameras in a gun store, what are you going to put them in? A knife store? Are you going to put them in whatever store that's out there? A sports store now where people can buy a baseball bat to commit a homicide? I mean, what's next, folks? I mean, once you allow the government, especially a local government, this right to this much intrusion, it's just the beginning of you actually just giving up that very, very important thing called privacy. And I have to tell you, you know, registering the guns are enough, folks. I mean, if you're going in to buy a gun and you're waiting a 10-day waiting period, chances are you're not really going to use that gun. Well, I don't know. I mean, there's some stupid criminals out there.
The percentage is low, Andrew.
The percentage is low as far as that weapon, that gun actually being used or bought for the purpose of being used for the commission of a crime.
Well, that's what that waiting day period was for, so to speak. Maybe like a cooling off, quote unquote, period. So you just don't go in and buy one and then go right out and handle whatever it is that you're going to do. But you're absolutely correct. What is going to be next? You know, they already have them in most places that the public goes to. There's already some kind of camera, and they have signs out there, video surveillance, smile, you're on camera, convenience stores and the like. But you know what? Those places are getting attacked all the time, and you can understand that. But a regular transaction, are they going to have that at automobile shops? You go and you buy a car, and they're going to do that. And now they're going to go after you for the DMV fees because they want to add more money on all the time. They already want to collect more taxes and more fees, they call them, from the DMV. So is something like that next?
Like I said, it's crazy. Where's the NRA on this case? Wow. I mean, this is 100% discriminative. This is a police discriminatory. It's not really a police discriminatory action. I'm going to back up on that one a little bit. But this is the intrusion of a city government, okay? And these are elected individuals. I mean, they're taking a page kind of out of President Barack Obama, and then I'm going to get into a little bit more about Jerry Brown, something that he just recently did. Mm. I mean, the council right now taking such authority to basically target an industry, because that's what it is. You're targeting an industry, and as a result, you know, to a degree, I think one of these pay funds should be established for this gun owner by all gun owners across California in this nation so that this guy could actually retire because he's doing the right thing by just saying, no, I'm not going to comply. And so as a result of him not complying, he's going to be forced to shut down his business. I mean, that's not America, folks. I mean, this is communist Russia. This is socialist Nazi Germany. This is not America whenever you have a government utilizing the police as far as an enforcement on a business.
Well, and most of the police officers, and I think the signs out in front of that business, Andrew, was, you know, they cater to law enforcement people, and they have a lot of those down there in the San Francisco, in the Bay Area down there. So no, those folks have to go somewhere else, or there's loss of revenue in there. It's crazy. But the NRA, not one word in that whole story was there anything about the NRA, because those people, the general manager and the store owners, Andrew, have been fighting for years and battling, and they're the last one, and they've been around for 65 years down there in the San Francisco Bay Area, and they're going to be closing their doors really soon. Well, it's just tragic.
Well, quite frankly, the NRA has been cowards out here in California as far as defending the rights of its members, myself being a member of this organization. Yeah, I understand their philosophy. It's just my opinion saying right here. I understand what I believe to be their strategic approach. I mean, they don't want to take on and actually lose the case against the Second Amendment under the 10th Amendment at this point in time. I understand that. And so, you know, I know that the organization at the national level really thinks that California is contained. But at some point in time, I mean, good Lord, the appeasement of the West Coast and the state of California when it comes to gun owner rights has got to stop. As an NRA, you are the voice. You're the authority. You are the champions of me, myself, and many individuals who listen to this show who basically we take advantage of our right to bear an arm. And the restrictions that the state of California and certain entities in the name of local control, local government, county government, municipal, and the 10th Amendment state of right needs to be challenged. And you know what? I think it's just about time that individuals out here in California, just especially NRA members, stand up and start demanding that the NRA does its job.
That's what the things are paid for each year. You pay into that, like dues for anything else. And they should go for things like, at least they should be heard, Andrew, because I can get the fact that they think that California is probably a lost cause, but just to lay it down and not even put up a little bit of a fight, because it's happening, it's going to happen in San Francisco, and it's going to move its way, it's going to try and move north, it's going to come into a little bit more trouble than it is as it moves its way down south. So it's going to go to San Jose, then on down to Fresno. And you know they want to do it in L.A. and San Diego, those other big cities.
You know, I mean, it's a part of that leftist strategy to assault the Second Amendment, obviously. I mean, you know, I mean, good Lord. I mean, nobody, how come is it? I mean, you know, I mean, back east, that poor young reporter that was shot by that angry homosexual black reporter. No one focused that was a hate crime. Oh, that's not a hate crime. No, that's not a anti-discriminatory crime. You know, now we must address mental illness rather than hate crime when it's just the opposite. You know, if it's a non-white police officer or a non-white kid or somebody, you know, shooting a non-white individual in the name of whatever. But that leftist movement to begin to chip away our Second Amendment right is obviously has started with the assault weapons ban out here in California. It's been chipped away with the open carry ban at this point in time. Yes, and now all of a sudden the city of San Francisco now wants to put this type of restraint on a business. You know, not only are you intruding on an individual's privacy under the Second Amendment right, you've got police enforcement against capitalism. I mean, the bottom line, let's not forget that capitalism is the name of this game here. And unfortunately, here comes another small business that is leaving San Francisco. It's going to move out of San Francisco. It's been in business forever, like you said, you know. So what's next, California? What else do you want? You want the taxis to go out of business? You want BART to go out of business? I mean, it's just time for Californians to put their foot down and say, you know what? This is ridiculous. And NRA, get out there into the Bay Area.
Absolutely. And I couldn't have said it any better, my friend.
All right. Okay, folks. Time for something you should know, or maybe you don't know, maybe you don't want to know, but you absolutely should know. Today's date is September 25th. The year 1775, the American Revolutionary War hero Ethan Allen is actually captured by the British. 1780, Benedict Arnold actually becomes the infamous Benedict Arnold and actually joins with the British. And then, of course, 1789, United States Congress proposes Bill of Rights. 10 of the 12 were actually ratified. And then, of course, 1867, Congress creates the first all-black university. That's Howard University in Washington, D.C.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Heard every Friday here on 1240 KSUE. Right after the news, about a half hour after the show at CRDNews.com. Don't forget about our website, The 503 Report, where America's voice is heard, and on iTunes. Back with a half-hour show.
And now, it's live from the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains. It's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertsen.
Thank you, Stan. Welcome back, everybody. It is Friday, our favorite day of the week, the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Heard every Friday right here on 1240 KSUE. Don't forget our website, the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard, and also on iTunes.
On iTunes, something that we're very proud of here on the 503 Report. And I have to tell you, you know, it's all thanks to a lot of hard work by our good friend John Schuford and Alter Effects, who's actually did everything that we needed to do. And, of course, if you go to our website, we don't have to do that anymore.
No, you don't. Just 503.
503 Report. And guess what, man? We're at the top right there at the list. Just hit where America's voice is heard. And you can go straight to John Schuford's Alter Effects website. And I got to tell you, man, you know, he will bring the heat up and really spice up your business, folks. So great time of the year. It's nice weather out here. Don't have that quite the chill that we had a couple of days ago or a couple of weeks ago, Tim.
Yes.
Lots to talk about in California, and we're going to get there right now. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you on our podcast, Where America's Voice is Heard on iTunes.
And
Tim,
did you think we were going to hear that as quick as we are right now, Andrew? You know, right around 4-year mark, I think you had a 5-year plan, but things have really come along, and John has done a terrific job. Our audience out there demanding the show as well. We can't thank them enough for that also, Andrew.
Well, thank you, audience. You're the ones who have not called in and said, hey, get off the air. You know, we appreciate that. We appreciate the input when you guys see us out there in the community and some of the things you say. And, of course, we can't cover everything that everybody brings up to us in this amount of time. But we're going to keep this format the way it is, folks.
Sure.
We're going to keep it within this 45-50-minute range so that, you know, the average commute out there in California and across the nation is within that 45-minute range. And so hopefully folks can have an easy access to download it onto their phone or their iPad or directly into their car these days.
Absolutely.
You know, it's for that short ride home. But before we get to politics, lots going on in California and definitely in this presidential race. But man, college football is big this weekend. You guys know I'm a huge college football fan. I'm looking at the top five, Ohio State. Of course, I'm wearing Sparty green.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, in favor of all my friends back in Michigan. TCU number 3 and 4, Ole Miss and Baylor. They kind of round off the top five. Ole Miss made the biggest jump, and we were talking about that. You know, Tim, we were talking about how Alabama needed to have a strong win.
Wow, where'd that go? Yeah.
Woo, boy, Ole Miss did that. They came in and put a whoop
in Tuscaloosa.
In Tuscaloosa. I tell you, I enjoyed that game. It was one of a couple of games I found very exciting. Another game I found very exciting was the Stanford-USC game. Okay, of course, I'm not a USC fan, and so Stanford actually went and really had nothing to do.
Just anybody.
But, you know, it was a little sugar on top. But,
absolutely.
But I tell you what, man, that was the greatest example of just tortoise and hare football, you know, USC being the hare, scoring very quickly, and then Stanford marching down the field very methodically, playing football, fundamentals, man. It was awesome to watch. And so big weekend coming up in college football, folks. Any of you guys want to engage with me in college football, feel free. I love having that conversation. And to all my fellow Cowboy fans out there, don't fret. And to all you Cowboy haters out there, stop it. I mean, Brandon Wheaton right now has got the easiest job in the world. All he's got to do is hand off to one of three running backs to get through that massive line, and then maybe a couple passes in the flat here and there. And as long as Sean Lee and that Dallas Cowboy defense keeps showing up every week, we might be okay. We got a good chance of maybe going 5-0 going into the bye, which includes beating possibly New England Patriots in Dallas.
That's going to be a tough one. I would give you some serious props on that, and I might even put on a Dallas uniform if something like that were to happen.
Hey, whatever you do, Frisco fan, don't ever put that black jersey on again.
Oh, that was god-awful.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that,
oh,
man.
Oh, I hated that. Ah. The fans, well, that's the San Francisco. Now, I love me some 49ers and Giants, but those fans down there, I don't know what they were even thinking, I mean, what they were even coming up with on that.
Well, we're just going to leave it at that,
there
man.
You go.
I'm not going to talk about how they went Raider or tried to become Pittsburgh Steelers or something like that. Okay. Lots happening out here in California, guys. Boy, I tell you what. You know what? This is something that has come up, and I find it kind of interesting because when it peaked with the Volkswagen scandal, you know, with the emissions, I was like, what is this? Why is this happening? Well, you know, California being California, you know, once again, the California Air Quality Board now will be using enhanced screening tests to eliminate that software and switches and other devices that circumvent emission standards as a result of that. So I guess the California Air Quality Board, do they have that authority? Is that their purpose as a regulatory agency, or, you know, is that a legislative action? I don't know. You tell me, folks. Tim, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, I think it's they did their job. Somebody was trying to circumvent what is going on, whether you like it or not, here in the state of California, and they found that Volkswagen was lying. They were doing things wrong. And it cost the CEO his job. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that. You don't like what's going on. And it's different. There are a company out of the United States. They're a German company. But, Andrew, you have to follow the rules and regulations where you're at.
But is this not an example of the rules being beyond followable, I guess, such a George Bush moment?
That was really good strategery.
It was great.
It was very close to that. But that is what is in place right now. Yeah. And if you have to fight, if you have to have somebody help you in government, a lobbyist or somebody to help you out and pay them some money to go to bat for you, do that to try and change it.
Well, now there's another problem you just created and brought up right there. I mean, is that not the problem where the emission standards, maybe in California or the rest of the country, is it just almost impossible for...
California probably is, Andrew.
And then the big question is how many other automobile companies have been doing it?
Well, you know they're going to be looking at it. If they caught one, somebody else is probably trying to do it as well, and we are a copycat society.
Well, hopefully what the attention should be is, you know, maybe the standards are way too high in order for us, but is that part of the mission of that far left, not just in California, but across the nation? And of course, California Governor Jerry Brown, as I mentioned on the first part of the show, you know, the NRA obviously not showing up in San Francisco.
He's loving that.
Trying to start a new trend. You know, what got me was that California Governor Jerry Brown was back east in New York this last week addressing the United Nations in preparation or before the president of China shows up. And you know what? He brings up this failed Senate Bill 350. Now, folks, we were praising the California Democrats and the legislature just last week for during that special session for killing Senate Bill 350, which was going to put that incredible tax on gas and then mandate that that they had this ridiculous reduction
50% reduction, I believe it was,
in gasoline motors in California by 2050. Well, now California Governor Jerry Brown has made it very clear. As he says, quote, "We don't need statutory. We already got the authority by using the California Air Resource Board. They're going to use an enforcement agency now to make up the rule that the California state legislature said no to."
So we have a new legislative body now that was not elected. Is that what you're trying to tell me, Andrew?
I'm going to say it one more time, folks. You have a California regulatory agency now making a rule, or you got a governor out here in California.
Sounds like a law almost, Andrew.
Trying to work with a regulatory agency to make a rule to be enforced that the legislature out here in California has rejected. And for California Governor Jerry Brown just to simply state that we don't need statutory, we've got the authority to do it anyway, is that not concerning, folks? Is that not concerning as far as we the people out here in California? We the people already spoke with our legislature. The legislature did its job, represented the people of the districts in California. And now you've got a governor blatantly stating that they're going to use a regulatory agency in order to enforce or create a law that the legislature has already rejected.
Climate control has always been pretty much number one on Governor Jerry Brown's agenda during, you know, the four terms, you know, 30, 40 years ago and currently, Andrew. But he's been fairly quiet. But that one is like a home run from him, hit out of the park. I mean, he is going all the way on something like that. How can he say that? How can he think he's going to get away with it? And how are we going to let him get away with that?
Well, we do it all the time with the federal level. Okay, we do it all the time at the federal level with EPA and other agencies, you know, now where you've got these regulatory agencies lobbying against Congress, lobbying against pieces of legislation to control the regulatory agency. And all we're doing, folks, is bringing it out and pointing it out to you exactly what's happening in California. Not only is it happening at the national level, it is happening right in front of you. Right in front of you out here in California.
You just hit me in the face with that one too, Andrew.
I have to tell you, 2012 census report came out, and it's very frustrating that it takes 3 years, you know, sometimes for this type of information to come out. But it does. I get it. It is quite the burden. It's quite the operation in order to get this information assembled and then properly distributed. But the personal income tax, in accordance to the census report of 2012, the personal income tax, folks, that's money out of your pocket every 2 weeks, every month, however you get paid, accounted for a whopping $55 billion of the ready, $412 billion that was collected in taxes from the munis, local, and state government out here in California.
Wow. Andrew, $55 billion? That's a staggering amount of money.
That was 2012.
And so now we have to wait 3 more years to find out exactly, because I already know how much is already gone from what we have.
And then we want to extend and keep the Proposition 30s going. I mean, Proposition 30 now, as we brought up last week, is looking to be extended. And so as a result, you know, that money is just probably going to go a little bit higher on behalf of the people of California. Now, the problem with this $412 billion in state local government taxes that were collected, you ready for this, Tim?
I'm ready.
I'm glad you're sitting down. You ready for this, folks? This might not be a huge surprise, but California in its totality spent $449 billion. We collected a total of $412 billion, but we spent $449 billion. Now, listen, the collection in the state of California is equivalent to the 20% of overall states in this nation. 20% equivalency of 50 states collecting taxes. And what? California doesn't have a taxation problem? Why are businesses and people leaving California? And then the economy is 13.2%, okay? Listen, $107 billion was spent. Ready? You know what I'm going to say, folks.
I know.
You guys know what I'm going to say?
I know where you're going.
You know, I'm going to say it.
Say it.
Education.
$107 billion
spent on education. Also, $35 billion on police, fire, and incarceration. Now, look, folks. Look, here's the deal. When we're looking at $35 billion in incarceration, once upon a time, most of us and a specific group of listeners out there, we remember when the state budget for incarceration was only $7, $8, $9 billion prior to a settlement between Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and then. California State Attorney Jerry Brown, when it came to that infamous health care reform for prison, which has created an enormous, which most of you probably don't realize, HMO health care plan, benefit plan for the criminals who are incarcerated out here in California.
I gotta pick myself up after hearing those numbers, Andrew. The 503 report ringing Sacramento and the world to you.
Lassen Senior Services and Wheels West present Lassen County's first barbecue cook-off Saturday, October 3rd, 11 a.m. Tractor Supply parking lot. For entry forms or more information, contact Penny Arts at Executive Director at LassenSeniorServices.org or call her 257-2113. Categories are brisket, pork butt, pork ribs, and chicken, judging based on KCBS scoring. Proceeds benefit Lassen Senior Services. Westwood Family Resource Center Westwood One Stop offers a variety of services to local residents: computer internet access, copy, fax, and telephone, resource and referral, emergency baby needs, emergency food and hygiene products, job application, resume assistance, advocacy, food banks, support groups, activity groups, veteran services, behavior health, and more. For more information, call them at 256-3706 or visit them at 463-975 Burr Street, Westwood.
The views and opinions expressed on the 503 report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of KSUE or Sierra Broadcasting Company, and are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network.
Okay, California and America, time for something you may not know. Today's date is September 25th, the year is 1890. Congress establishes Yosemite National Park out here in California.
Yay.
Yeah, right. 1926, Henry Ford announces an 8-hour, 5-day work week. Yes. 1956, the first transatlantic telephone cable goes into operation. And, of course, 1973, a 3-man crew of the Skylab. You guys remember the Skylab?
Yes.
Yeah, it makes a safe splashdown in the Pacific after 59 days. And, of course, Oh, I don't know, about 4.5 decades ago, not quite 5 decades ago, somewhere in there. Yours truly was brought into this world from the proud parents of Mr. Claude Orlando and Patricia Gail Wellborn in an East Texas town along the Louisiana border known as Woodville. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you on our podcast, Where America's Voice is Heard. Now on iTunes. And speaking of the voices heard, we do have a caller on the line. Thanks for calling. Thanks for joining this conversation. What's on your mind today?
I just wonder, is there some way I can contact you folks without being on the radio?
Yeah. You know what? Absolutely. You can contact us directly. You can send us an email if you have that capability.
Okay, that's what I want.
You bet. You can send us directly to info@503report.com. info@503report.com. And then we'll get that and we'll take a look at it and respond to you.
Okie dokie. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. All right, callers, don't be intimidated by this iTunes thing, man. Come on, talk to us. We're all good. It's nothing really going to change as far as how we treat and talk to our listeners. Now, on the national level, I got to tell you, man, it's interesting to watch the big media, and it's interesting to watch the coverage of this national election. I'm just going to start out with saying, all right, two down, two to go. Two down, two to go. And, you know, two libertarians down, two libertarians to go, and then maybe we'll get this Republican race the way it needs to go. Of course, we're talking about Governor Rick Perry dropping out early now, Governor Scott Walker dropping off. You know what? It's just kind of funny, folks, because there's a message that I want to send to all the Republican candidates. And the message is, this is the message that I want to send to all Republican candidates out now still in this race.
When the folks of Iowa found out the true facts of the job that you've done in Wisconsin, all of a sudden you tubed. He was number one, now he's number six or seven in the poll. So, look, we brought it out. You were supposed to make $1 billion in the state. You lost 2.2. You have right now a huge budget deficit. That's not a Democratic point. That's a point. That's a fact. And when the people of Iowa found that out, I went to number one, and you went down the tubes.
Yes, that is the message, folks, because that happened on a Wednesday. 2 days later, the individual that Donald Trump was talking to, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, was scheduled to appear in Anaheim, California, for the California Republican Convention. There was a no-show. 2 days later, 3 days later, on a Monday, he was out of the race. Now, this is the second top tier, wannabe future, the future of the party, the darlings of the Libertarian Tea Party. Two candidates now have attacked Donald Trump. And guess what? They are no longer in this race. So all of you you candidates across this nation, you might want to think about pulling a page out of Texas State Senator Ted Cruz's book and not attack Donald Trump.
And he has done so, and he has done well in the polls as of late. And that was kind of shocking to see that Governor Walker had pulled out of California. I saw that, and I was going, Andrew, I was telling myself, there's something up, because he was going to come here. California, as we know, is really not a Republican state, but he was a big name. He had the stage all to himself, Andrew, and he pulled out.
It would have been a disaster for California Republican Party to have him actually on that stage, especially as we talk about a couple initiatives that are coming before the voters of California potentially in 2016. But, you know, it was thank you Donald Trump for actually putting that kill shot on him. And so now maybe my California Republican Party can regroup and realize that, you know, this stale message that they have is going to fail. Look, we've been stating almost since day one about the importance of legal status for immigrants who have been in this country illegally for a long time. Not citizenship.
Sure.
Individuals who have been producing for a long time. Give them a legal status so that we can understand who they are. And if they don't have any children, or they don't have any, you know, immediate relations in this nation, then target those individuals for deportation. Target the criminals for deportation. But the children who are citizens our age, and they're 25, they're 30, they're 40 years of age, with parents who have never become citizens but are here illegal, you have got to address that. And so, you know, California message, The national messaging is starting to change. This libertarian movement within the Republican Party is getting demolished, and I love it. You know, I love it. You know, the pundits are very, very concerned. The libertarian media is very, very concerned. The leftist mainstream media now is very concerned because they've been able to successfully pinpoint Republicans as being libertarians. Well, that far-right base, you're never going to win. And then when we're appeasing that far-right libertarian base, what happens to that libertarian base anyway? They always leave when their candidate doesn't win. This Donald Trump phenomenon right now is awesome because guess what? That middle-class white,
hardworking,
discontented, suppressed voting are now starting to come out. And it's going to be concerning for minority groups at this point in time because guess what? Once you get the majority of Americans mobilized, minority groups don't have the numbers to be able to prevent something. So Americans are beginning to wake up. This is a true progressive movement, and I love how no one can pinpoint it. I love how everybody's trying to use words that really don't relate. This is not an anti-establishment movement in this nation. That's just a word that we got to use because we don't have any other word to try to replace it. And how dare we? We can't say progressive because we've demonized progressive for so long, like the word liberal, that it would be so confusing. It's just funny to watch all the political scientists and all the pundits trying to figure this out. Folks, this is simple. This is political science 101. This is another movement in our history where the American people, they're not tired of the establishment. They're tired of the corruptness, what they believe to be the corruptness and the closeness between political parties and corporate America, the antitrusters. They're conservatives. They want capitalism. They want to have a successful small business. But right now, they see the relationship between big business and big government hindering their ability to pursue their American dream.
The progressive movement on the Republican side, did you ever think that you would hear that? Because that was solely something on the left and the way that they were going. But did you ever think that?
Hold on. The progressive movement, you know, the term is under Woodrow Wilson, was a conservative movement historically. It was a capitalist movement historically. And so what's kind of funny is that it's happening on the left. It's happening within the Democrat side more so than it is on the Republican side. I mean, it's going on both parties. And I have to tell you, it's kind of cool. It's very good. You know, unfortunately, this race is kind of lining up. Like we said, every time Donald Trump opens his mouth, he seems to go up. Sure enough, he went up in the Fox News poll. The CNN poll is all over the place. You know, it's a typical CNN poll as far as who's winning, who's losing, and all this stuff. And, you know, I'm happy to say that, you know, we're on the record, and one of these shows is actually on our podcast, available through iTunes. I'm very happy to say that we were very early saying the importance of how we liked the idea of Mr. or Mrs. Smith going to Washington, going to the White House with Dr. Ben Carson and, of course, Carly Fiorina. And, of course, we made it very clear that this was Jeb Bush's to lose. And he's doing a great job at losing this. You know, I mean, I just can't believe he hasn't reached out to Brian Sandoval out here in Nevada a little bit more vigor when it comes to this. But statewide polls, I have to tell you, Donald Trump is surging. The big one that came out of Florida, he's head. He's head leading everybody in Florida right now going into the primary.
I've asked you this before. Okay, Andrew, he is leading, and he is stating that message, and he is trumping that message out there of the common, and this is what I'm going to do. But does he have to get specific? And I mention this almost all the time, but he can wait a little bit longer still because he is knocking off those guys slowly but surely, one by one, and he doesn't really have to say anything of substance. He's just saying, well, they're doing it wrong. He's not really saying what he would do. We all know he's a successful businessman, but there will be coming a time, Andrew, when he is going to have to start saying something.
Well, look, I mean, not at this point, I don't believe. Like, I'm going to stand on my position from last week. Look, Governor, Scott Walker tried to make the call, you know, the rally. We have to unite, which was sour grapes, I thought. You know, we got to unite against, you know, Trump.
That's exactly what he said.
And I get it. You know, Jeb Bush, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, these Scott Walker, these guys have been the darling of Fox News and other libertarian Tea Party champions out there for so long. It's just got to be frustrating to be able to have this Donald Trump out there interfering with their rise. Even Jeb Bush has got to be just frustrated to see this, but it is what it is. It's the way politics are sometimes, and these are these unique waves historically that will show up. All right, we do have another call in line. Welcome to 503 Report. What's on your mind today? Thanks for joining this conversation.
I think Trump's great, and I think he's rubbing Fox's nose in it and CNN's nose in it, too.
See?
He did go into detail on some things on Hannity. Hannity nailed him down on quite a few things. I don't know whether you can get that station of Hannity or not, but he did nail him down, and it was okay. And it's like he says, he'll get responsible people in to where he doesn't know. And I go along with that.
There it is.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. We greatly appreciate your call, and I will check that out.
Well, no, she's absolutely right. I mean, look, last week we said, I'm going to say again this week, you know, if I was going to advise Donald Trump, which I don't know if he's advisable, to be honest with you, if I was going to advise Donald Trump, I'd say, hey, okay, no more debates. No more debates at this point in time. And if I were the other candidates, I'd be scared to get up on that stage with him. I would talk to the RNC and say, hey, whoa, let's postpone these debates until after the Democrats start doing their debates at this point. But the caller's absolutely right. You know, he can be able to look at you and say, trust me. And I think the majority of the American people saying, yeah, I think we can trust you. Yes, not because you're an outsider. You know, we just don't believe you're going to be bought. Yeah, we get it. We don't care how you're going to do it. Yeah, we understand that you don't want to, you know, reveal your hand. Obviously, you're a good negotiator. We understand that the art of negotiation is 100% not revealing your hand too soon. So, I mean, so, you know, look, Republican candidates, man, pay attention to that message. Don't take him on because, you know, Trump is slaying you guys, and he's slaying you guys with facts. And if you want to have a chance at maybe having a political career outside of this presidential race, get on board. Ted Cruz is playing it perfect. I completely, totally see in him as possibly, if he could get it straight with Mitch McConnell, becoming a nominee or an appointment to the United States Supreme Court. How great would that be, Senator Ted Cruz, to be on the Supreme Court when you do not win this nomination?
Absolutely, and that would absolutely be a great call, Andrew, my friend.
Okay, now time for my favorite book. It comes from Psalms 147:8. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain. And he maketh the grass grow on the hills. God bless you, America.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And, of course, we always want to thank those men and women who go to work every day, working the toughest beaten state, performing their duty so that you, our listener, up and down the state of California and across this nation can be safe.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Heard Fridays right after the news on 1240 KSUE. And about 20 minutes after the show, go to SierraDailyNews.com. You can catch a rebroadcast that way. Also, our website, The 503 Report, where America's voice is heard, and hear us on iTunes as well. Just click subscribe on there, and you'll download the shows. It is a great way. Also, on Saturdays and Sundays, you can grab a cup of coffee and join us as well. Saturdays at 7, right before the news and Swap Shop, and Sundays about 7:34 pre-programmed material. Want to invite everybody Saturday. If you're listening on the rebroadcast Saturday, out to Every Bloomin' Thing, Janice Tassi, had her on the morning today. For a book signing out there, go out there and catch her. And a very special guest in studio next week with us here on the 503 Report. An hour edition. We'll be talking about that more. 1 hour next Friday on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Have a great weekend.
Let me thank you for your time.